Hello.
Is this Karen Recker?
It is.
All right. Well, should we get started?
Let's get started.
Okay. Did you, I'm not going to assume anything. Have you heard any of the previous episodes?
I listened to a couple minutes of a couple.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Well, then do you remember how it gets started?
Yes.
Okay. Well, can I let you take it away?
What are you here for then?
What? I'm just here to facilitate conversation. You don't. Well, who's interviewing you? Who here, okay?
I thought you were interviewing me. You have to ask the questions.
You listen to it. Okay, first question. First question.
Per usual, I'm giving you a hard time.
Yeah. No, I haven't forgotten. Okay. I'll give you a hard time too, and I'm sure you haven't forgotten.
Okay. Deal.
So the first thing is just to, this isn't a question, but tell anyone who happens to hear this podcast episode how we know each other.
Yeah, so we know each other. I used to work at Drake University in Des Moines, and Zach went to Drake. And so I was a residence hall coordinator in a sophomore residence hall, and Zach was my hall president, and I had my hands full that year.
Thank you for the brevity.
It was fun. It was a good year. There's nothing better than living with all your friends, right?
Well, we had some good programming.
We did. I remember. Cops and some Donuts.
Cops and Donuts.
That was my favorite.
Remember how I got the entire hall staff to basically take on my responsibilities for event planning?
Manipulative.
No, it was, I thought it was unique. And there's actually a name for, it's not manipulative, it's...
Delegation?
Yeah, no, there's like a specific term for it that I've been looking for years. It's, anyway, that's how we know each other.
Yes.
And I had not anticipated this being a conversation that I would have with you, but you have kind of a unique perspective on COVID-19.
Yes.
And I think I'm going to abandon the usual script and let you just talk about your last, 6 months.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've had a really interesting past few months. Nothing I ever thought I would experience as many people, but I do think I have kind of a unique perspective. So last year I was actually invited to tag along on a trip. I work at Iowa State University now, and I'm the director of a career services office there. And so I was asked to join a delegation of faculty and staff who went to China. And apparently I did all right. That was actually last March. And I was invited to go back again in January of 2020. So spent a few months preparing for that trip. Actually, the first time I went, I only had 9 days notice that I was going to China.
Oh, wow.
I didn't even have a Chinese visa at the time. So it was kind of crazy. But this time I had more preparation. I was ready for it. And I'm super excited to go back. I loved China the first time I visited. And on, I can't remember if it was New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, I got a message from one of the other staff who were going on the trip. And it said that in our second city that we were going to visit, there was a pneumonia outbreak. And so I read the message and kind of just ignored it. Just thought, you know, I travel internationally pretty frequently, and I'm always really careful about getting sick. And, you know, you get worn out, you're tired. It's a lot. You're exposed to a lot of germs and things. So I'm always careful. So I didn't really think anything of it. Well, we made it to China, and when we were in our first city, actually, it's called Chengdu, a boarding school from Wuhan, our second city, actually called us and said, hey, this pneumonia outbreak is getting bigger. We're scared. We're not actually going to send our students to your admissions program. And I think that's when it hit us that this was a little bit bigger and more serious than we thought it was going to be. So we then flew into Wuhan, and we were there for several days. Some of our programming was different. We kind of changed things around because students weren't able to come, and I actually ended up getting sick in Wuhan. And it was really interesting because I still didn't really know what was going on. It was still pneumonia outbreak at that point. We had been told not to eat the seafood there. That was what they were telling us not to do.
Wait, so you just had rice the entire time?
Well, I eat all kinds of things. I love the food there. So I didn't eat the seafood, but ate lots of other stuff. Sure. So yeah, I ended up getting sick and I was kind of stuck in my hotel room for a while. I think I was running a pretty high fever. But the rooms there are warmer anyways, so it's kind of hard to tell, but I just remember like being totally miserable, starting to get kind of worried because they were starting to check temperatures at the airport. And so I was a little worried I wouldn't be able to go on the rest of our trip. We visited, I think, 6 different cities in about 16, 17 days. So I had actually had some different prescription medicine in my bag that I'd gotten before I left. And it was just kind of a Hail Mary. Like I took it and luckily the fever broke and I was able to finish out the trip. I did have a cough for the rest of the trip. So it was really interesting, but as we continued and finished it out, actually the day we left Wuhan is when they announced that it was a coronavirus. So just watching everything play out. And I remember also just that last day flying out of Beijing back to Chicago is when they were setting up all the big, you know, temp checks, health checks, all that stuff. And so we made it back and a couple days later is when they started like suspending flights from China, like evacuating people, all that stuff. So super crazy. And then of course things go on. And I remember being, so I've been to China a couple times for work, met lots of people, made friends with lots of our alumni. And I remember it just kind of hitting me differently. I think for a lot of people, China's just far away and they've never been there. And, you know, things are different there. And so they thought, oh, it'll never happen here. You know, this isn't anything to be concerned about. And I even called my doctor at one point and said, hey, I was in Wuhan. I was sick. Do you want to see me? Do you want to talk about this? And they were like, no, you're fine. It's fine.
What?
Yeah, it was really crazy. And so I was just really kind of keeping tabs on it and talking to some of my friends who were there. And they were in quarantine then. The cities were shut down. And so just like, it was really different, I think, for me, because I had come into such close contact to it previously. But I still, I don't think, could have completely predicted this. So yeah, now we're kind of sitting in their shoes. So
oh my gosh. So do you like kind of commiserate with, like, not commiserate, are you feeling like you had the same symptoms that are kind of denoted as COVID-19?
I think it's possible. I mean, I don't know. It's also hard to kind of in hindsight that you're like, did I have a fever? Or were the rooms just really hot? Or like, did I have this? Did I lose my sense of taste? Or was that last meal I ate just kind of bland?
Really? That's one of the symptoms?
Yeah, losing your sense of taste and smell.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's hard to know. I mean, it was several months ago, but it's I'm sure it's completely possible. So who knows?
Well, are you 100% positive that you're not just asymptomatic now and still giving it to everybody?
I hope not. Well, I haven't really seen anyone, so I'm good.
So you're self-quarantining as the director of the School of Liberal Arts and Sciences at Iowa State.
Yep, and Career Services. Mm-hmm.
And Career Services. And what changes have you seen within the university in the last 5 to 7 weeks?
Yeah, so I think higher education is a really fascinating place to be during this time, because higher education is pretty resistant to change and pretty slow to change. So for us to kind of have to turn on a dime and start working from home, which isn't something that was really encouraged before, and to have to change our services, change our classes so that it's all online. It's been really dramatic. And luckily, kind of as it was happening, it was our spring break, so we had a little bit of extra time to prepare. But it has definitely changed the way we do everything. I think for my office specifically, we were a bit ahead of the game because we do have, I have a really amazing staff member who we had been considering her going remote anyways. And so we had a lot of pieces in place where we could do online advising appointments. We could do, you know, we have a little chat feature on our website. So we had a lot of things in place, though. It was a little bit easier for us. But I think this, it has really pushed a lot of people in higher ed out of their comfort zone. And I think, obviously, the situation is unfortunate, but I think a lot of really cool things could actually come from this, and just a lot of innovative ways of thinking about things and serving our students. As an example, summer orientation. So this was typically something where we would have students travel to campus and stay overnight to do their orientation. Well, a lot of students can't afford a hotel room or finding, you know, a place to stay and things like that. And so we were always trying to think of, we're trying to push, you know, what other ways can we do this? And now it's going all online. So we won't be kind of giving students some of those, you know, maybe hardships that we were putting them through before. So I think, you know, like I said, the bigger situation isn't great, but I think there are some really positive things that might come of this.
And I was speaking with another Drake grad who he went to the School of Pharmacy. And I'm curious, you know, I asked him, do you think that we can reflex back? Because especially from more of like a corporate or enterprise point of view, I think a lot of companies are discovering that they can work remotely. Mm-hmm. And I think it may be difficult now that they've identified, you know, even if a lease is necessary or if they can downgrade their physical office location, do you think any of those aftershock effects will be seen in an academic or university setting?
Yeah, I think things have changed forever. I mean, I just think, yeah, they didn't really want us working remotely. Now everybody's doing it like pretty dang successfully. So I think that is actually really cool. And I think there's just a lot of flexibility and a lot of different things that we can do that are going to make the experience of higher education better.
Mm-hmm. And what sort of timelines are you hearing internally at Iowa State, if you can share that, give any expectation of when, I guess, the slow adjustment back to, excuse me, back to normalcy might begin?
Yeah, I know that we are not, as employees, we are not supposed to go back to campus through May 31st. We have already put everything for summer online, though. So definitely through mid-August, we won't really see students on campus. And that's what we know about Iowa State. But I've read super fascinating articles about higher education in general and how we'll come back from this. Just because universities and colleges are such mass meetings of people, I mean, so many people, you know, students that I don't think sometimes they think the most about hygiene and stuff like that. You know, right. They don't have their parents around to tell them to go to the doctor or take care of themselves or stay home. And so it just is known to be a pretty germy place. So I've heard all kinds of different things, not specific to my university, but just articles and interesting kind of tactics we could take going online for fall, pushing fall start date back, having a shorter fall semester, maybe only having classes meet in person that have under 100 students in them. So kind of getting rid of the large lectures and doing those online. Maybe not letting all of our students back on campus, maybe only upperclassmen come back because their classes are usually smaller, but maybe our first and second year students are still online. So everything is up in the air right now, and it's really fascinating.
Well, you just answered part of my next question, which is, have you already started planning when students come back to campus? Do you think that August is a realistic timeline?
My honest opinion is no. I know that Iowa State is planning like a welcome week and that sort of thing. And, you know, really, I think you kind of have to be prepared either way. But my
Sure.
honest opinion is no. I think we are too big of an institution to bring that many people back together.
And have you noticed any changes in the types of questions that you get from prospective students?
You know, I think a lot of it is just, I think everybody's just wondering what this is going to look like and what's going to happen. And I think students are having to make, prospective students are having to make some really hard decisions right now, not really knowing the future. You know, I think they're having to think more economically too. We don't know what's happening. A lot of, you know, students we're talking to, their parents have lost their jobs. There's just a lot of things going on that they need to be smart and try to be proactive. And so, yeah, I think the world has changed for everyone. I think we were just sitting in a place where we felt like we were untouchable and nothing could happen, and that changed so quickly.
Yes, it did. Well, I think I've kind of exhausted my questions, but I'm curious if there's anything else that you want to share based on your personal or professional research that you've done.
Let me think a little bit. I guess mainly, I think I kind of covered it. I think, yeah, higher education is just such an interesting place to be for those factors that we are slow to move, and also that we're such a mass amount of people. I had read that we're probably one of the last things that's really going to come back together because it is just kind of a dangerous place to be when people are contagious and there's just a lot we don't know still about this virus. And so I think it's going to take a long time for things to get back to normal for us.
I'd agree with that. So then, other than going remote, I'm sure you've had a lot of changes. And one question that is on my usual script is, how have your food and drink habits changed? And do you have any good recipes to
I
share?
love this question because I've been asking people this stuff too.
Okay.
I am obviously home more, and so I've been able to cook a lot more, which has been really fun, something different to do. I also love asking people like what their weird craving has been, and I don't know why, but like out of the blue, I swear I have probably haven't had these since like 1993, but I was like, I need Funyuns. Like I need to eat Funyuns. And so I did get a
Wow.
bag of those and eat them and got that out of my system.
Good.
But I'm trying to think of like fun things. I don't know. I don't think I've been cooking anything that's like that crazy or that strange, but it's just kind of fun to challenge yourself a little bit and like use what you have. And I just go on Pinterest and type in ingredients and find a recipe, and I've been having a lot of fun with it. So
All right. Well, it sounds like you do have some good recipes. This is just a bit of a cop out. So next month, you better come with like a gourmet dish to share,
okay,
okay?
I'll do that.
All right. And anything else that you're, besides this recipe that you're going to find, anything else that you're looking forward to in the next 30 days?
Things I'm looking forward to in the next 3 days. I'm looking forward to the weather getting better and kind of more consistent. I feel like we've been on a little bit of a weather roller coaster.
Yes.
But I think that is number one on my list so that I cannot, I always try to get outside like every day. But I feel like I really have to push myself someday because it's really gross outside.
It is. You don't have a dog yet, do
No.
you? Okay, can you get a dog in the next 30 days too?
I actually have another friend who's really been pushing for this.
All right, we'll stay
Yeah,
tuned.
of course.
Okay. All right. Thanks,
No
Taryn. I'll talk to you
problem.
soon.
Bye.